Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good morning. This is Blog Talk Radio. I'm Russ Johnson, and it's 12 noon, so here we go.
On at least six space missions, United States astronauts have encountered UFOs. Journalist Frank Edwards records the following incident.
As Major Cooper was making his final orbit of the Earth in May of 1963, he was approaching Perth, Australia. Suddenly, Major Cooper radioed down to the tracking station that he was being approached by a greenish glowing disc with a faint red glow on one side. It was traveling east to west, which no man-made satellite does. 200 persons at the tracking station watched the object on the gear there. They saw it approach Cooper. Then it veered away from him and sped on out into space. It was only the first of many such cases. Every American astronaut since Gordon Cooper has also been approached by unidentified flying objects. And each time the UFOs come closer to the astronauts, and each time they remain a little longer. In 1965, Major Edward McDivitt photographed one of these objects near the capsule in which he was orbiting the Earth over the Pacific Ocean. And the photograph, as released by the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, clearly shows a bright, egg-shaped thing which leaves a visible trail from its propulsion system. The more we study the evidence that is being assembled all over the Earth, the more inescapable the conclusion that man had best prepare himself for the greatest event in human history. The realization that we are about to contact, or to be contacted by, sentient beings from elsewhere in the universe. The late General Douglas MacArthur said that this confrontation would be the greatest challenge man ever had to face. Are we ready for it? When and if it comes? Frank Edwards reporting.
Well, about interest, and that's interesting. But we're going to get on the way. We want to tap into Nate's call in just a moment. Let me dial this up. 954-947-5454-97. Tapping into another program and to put us on the air with the group that Nate Jackson runs Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Joining conference now.
This call may be recorded or transcribed.
So let me do that, and then we'll go on and get started. One moment.
Right, Nate. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
You have been muted. Okay, to unmute yourself, press the star key twice.
Okay.
Mute off.
Good morning, Russ. How are you today?
Hey, good morning, sir. How are you this morning?
Okay. Were you able to get Jillian?
Nope.
Okay.
I called two or three times. That's why I'm late getting on. I was trying to call the last minute, but nobody's picking up the phone. So, you know, crisis does intervene sometimes.
Okay. Yeah, I had mentioned it. I know she's been a bit under the weather.
Right.
And, yeah.
I was trying to get another lady, Sally. But she says she was on the way to the studio to do some other radio broadcasts. She's a clairvoyant and a psychic and all that. But anyway, she said she was had to run. But anyway, next time.
Okay. All right. Well, as I said earlier, you know, we must go on.
Oh, yeah. The show must go on. I could always do some questions and answers and play a couple clips and then take some questions and some answers about the Pentagon's recent release, disclosure, if you want to call it that, that aliens are operating somewhere in the universe with a technology far superior than anything we've developed. So that information is always good.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this. There's another program that I listen to quite often. They do touch on that same subject all the time. And they talk about what Area 51, Roswell, things of that type, that these were areas that were said that they had crashes of alien aircraft or spacecraft or whatever. And from some of the people have reported that our sudden surge on technology was a result of some of those situations. For instance, I personally know people in the military from 50, 60 years ago said they were using cell phones back, you know, back during that time. They had a network which later became the internet 60 or so years ago before it was introduced to the public. And these things were, according to their information, was supposed to be technology that was shared or discovered from those quote unquote crashes. What do you know about that? And based on your research and what you've been into, is that a possibility? Is it a true statement, or is it what has happened is all of a sudden has advanced our technology, even the technology they've been talking about med beds. You know, I was told that was part of the technology that was discovered. And of course, you know, we have a society where you have quote unquote elites, and they've been able to take advantage of a lot of that, and they've held it back from the public. Is this something that you know anything about?
Yeah, right. I mean, there's a lot of research on this, the very subject that you're talking about. Obviously, number one, when the Pentagon comes out and tells you, which they did a month ago, if you will, that there is something out there they don't understand. Well, they do understand. They've been doing it. They've been holding research on this for, what I say, this is 2020, for at least 100 years. They got it all down pat. As a matter of fact, if you want to do some research, if you really want to know the answers to the questions of are we alone, it's answered overwhelmingly to the positive that we are alone, because the Pentagon is saying, hey, there's something flying around, and all the air traffic controllers, and I was doing that when I was in the service back when, it was 70 years ago, but anyway, air traffic controllers, the pilots, and the people who track radar and all this, yes, they are here, and they've been here. That's the foregone conclusion that they're here. And have there been crashes? Yes, Roswell of 1947 and many others, right? That they have shot them down purposely. And Dr. Stephen Greer has all the stats on that and how they have done that to get that craft so they can back engineer and have cell phones and high internet and all that other stuff that we have. Yes, they have back engineered. Now, if you really, really honestly want to know all about that, there's a book called The Day After Roswell by Colonel Phillips, Philip Gordon, Corsico, if you will, Colonel Philip Corsico. That's an excellent, excellent book. And if you don't want to read the book, you can go to Amazon and get the audio and listen to it. It's all there. Now, the big thing that's happening in Washington, D.C. in June 10th, 11th, 12th, and 13th, that Dr. Stephen Greer, he will be there with 500, 600, 700 people or more at the National Press Club disclosing all of this. And let me do this. Let me get ready to point up some things that some people may not understand, may not believe, or have doubts about. You have to do your homework in order to know what's happening in this vastness of the universe. And we only know a very little. There are many books, many shows, Cosmic Connections, Ancient Aliens, Gaia, all the Beyond Belief by George Noray. There's so many books, so many programs now on television that you can delve into. Even Spielberg did his job with ETs and AI and Men in Black and all that, what he did. There's so much out there. And if you really want to know, you got to start doing some research. But let me put some things together, and I'll be right back in just a moment.
On at least 6 space missions, United States astronauts have encountered UFOs. Journalist Frank Edwards records the following incident.
As Major Cooper was making his final orbit of the Earth in May of 1963, he was approaching Perth, Australia. Suddenly, Major Cooper radioed down to the tracking station that he was being approached by a greenish glowing disc with a faint red glow on one side. It was traveling east to west, which no man-made satellite does. 200 persons at the tracking station watched the object on the gear there. They saw it approach Cooper. Then it veered away from him and sped on out into space. It was only the first of many such cases. Every American astronaut since Gordon Cooper has also been approached by unidentified flying objects. And each time the UFOs come closer to the astronauts, and each time they remain a little longer. In 1965, Major Edward McDivitt photographed one of these objects near the capsule in which he was orbiting the Earth over the Pacific Ocean. And the photograph, as released by the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, clearly shows a bright, egg-shaped thing which leaves a visible trail from its propulsion system. The more we study the evidence that is being assembled all over the Earth, the more inescapable the conclusion that man had best prepare himself for the greatest event in human history. The realization that we are about to contact, or to be contacted by, sentient beings from elsewhere in the universe. The late General Douglas MacArthur said that this confrontation would be the greatest challenge man ever had to face. Are we ready for it, when and if it comes? Frank Edwards reporting.
Okay. And Frank Edwards, obviously you can punch him up and he'll go to YouTube, and he has a lot of reports and a lot of research. But there's so many research scientists dealing with this. I mean, this is an official report, obviously, you know that. Now, look, it's known that for many, many decades, there's a secret government here in the United States. They have been collecting information and in some respects collaborating with alien visitors here on planet Earth. Now, I have a disclosure project. So if you go to projectdisclosure.com, you'll see a lot of information on that website and some interviews of people that I've been associated with and have interviewed, and it's all there. I have interviews there with Dr. Michael Seller. I mean, he has a podcast. Then Laura Eisenhower. I mean, it goes on and on. And Linda Mutant Howell, Doris Cannon. I mean, there's so many people out there who are researching this, but if you're not in the realm of watching this or paying attention to this, it'll go right over your head. But this is the biggest kept secret that the United States government has been hiding for a number of years. So, yes, to answer your question in a simple way, yes, they have back-engineered all the aircraft that they have taken down, and they got a lot of information, and they got stuff that Dr. Greer, if you go to Stephen Greer, and punch him up because he's been doing this for like the last 40 years, and he has a lot of information exactly what they have. And you got some information, but they got more information that blow your mind in terms of what they have back engineered and what they have been capable of doing. As a matter of fact, and I'll answer that in a few minutes, but they have spaceships. The United States has have spaceships that they have created that goes to the moon, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, and wherever. And they have a whole secret space force. It's called the Secret Space Force that they've been running for the last 60, 70 years. So, yes, they have all that stuff in hand, if you will. So that's to answer your question. Yes, that's what they've been doing. And more, and more. Any other questions on that?
Yeah, based on your opinion as far as this inner reaction that is going on, or supposedly going on, however you want to put it, are they favorable to the Earth as we know it, or are they enemies of the Earth?
Well, you know, that's a big discussion because, look, on this planet, there's always light and dark, good and bad, up and down. There's some aliens that we know of now. Now, this is a vast universe. It's got billions, hundreds of billions of trillions of planets out there, folks. So don't think you're the only entity in all the vastness of the universe. You're not. But the ones that have been coming here, some of them are benevolent. that they want to help you and to improve your life and take care of and show you things and help you raise your consciousness level, and that some of them really don't care about you particularly. And that's a whole big discussion. Yes, the people who study this stuff, they know for sure that, yeah, it's not going to be a war as was indicated or inferred by General Douglas MacArthur, that we're going to have a war with them, like War of the Worlds and Independence Day and all that. No. That's what they're not shooting. As a matter of fact, Dr. Greer is trying to help us not to go in that direction and make them an enemy, since they made us, by the way. That's number one. And they could wipe you out because they're hundreds of thousands of years ahead of you technologically, philosophically, intellectually. They could wipe you out if they wanted to get rid of you. But because some people say this is the prison colony, the outback of the universe, Earth is, no big deal, that they are entities much far superior than you are capable of being. Not that you won't be capable one day as you come in and out of this existence, because you're here now, and some of you will leave and come back here. Some of you may leave and go somewhere else in the universe, because there's no death. You just continue your spirit, because you occupying a body at this time. You are a soul that happens to come down, jump into a body, and run around here on Earth to learn a few lessons. And then when you leave, they're going to leave your body here, and they're going to go back to somewhere else. So that's a long, it's a lot of information here. So any other questions about that? I'm just trying to, well, look, let me do something. Dr. Greer, he talks about it. He's working very hard. For those people who are in the Washington area, I would suggest you go to the National Press Club in Washington, D.C. on June 10th, 11th, 12th, and 13th. He's going to have a big deal with vice presidents and presidents, head of the CIA and head of the cabal around the world coming to Washington, D.C. on those 4 days. So there should be thousands of people there. And plus, he's going to do the National Press Club on that Monday, which is June 13th, and that's going to be programmed all over the world. But here's his Dr. Greer talking about some of that.
To me, during our 2 or 3 hour meeting with the CIA director, she turned to me. She said, "How are these civilizations communicating across the vastness of interstellar space? Because the speed of light is too slow." And for people who aren't scientists on your viewership, let me explain. At the speed of light, to go 1% of the way across our own galaxy, the Milky Way, would take, which is 1,000 light years, which is the distance light goes at 186,000 miles every second for a year. That's one light year. 1,000 light years is 1% of the way across our galaxy, which is one galaxy amongst trillions. But at the speed of light, for you to even communicate and say, "Hey, how are you doing?" and to answer back, that would be the time since the birth of Christ, 2,000 years, for that transmission to happen with what you and I are using right now on electromagnetic signals. So we knew as scientists and that there had to be something else that these civilizations were using. And what we discovered was that they have very, very sophisticated electronics. And this is, of course, what Elon Musk at Neuralink, he has a company called Neuralink, is working on, that interface with directed thought. Now, this is probably where I've lost half your audience. And they're going, "What?" And the reality is there's an area of what's called the science of consciousness, field consciousness, where at Princeton with Dr. John, who is an engineering professor, discovered that he could set up a technology, a random number generator that spits out random zeros and ones, and put someone in a room and have that person intend through their thought, not touching it, no wires, for the random number generator to spit out more ones and zeros. And it would, and it did it consistently. And so he began to ask the question, how can the consciousness field and thought affect a quantum random number generator, which is what he was using. And so that unleashed an entire area of physics, which people think sounds very obtuse and sort of mystical, but it isn't. And what we had discovered when I was younger is that, in fact, these civilizations that are from various star systems have technologies that Elon Musk could only dream about. In other words, they very accurately transmit and send and receive directed quanta of thought instead of an electromagnetic signal per se through what's called field consciousness. And the consciousness field is, I mean, it sounds very Buddhist or Vedic, but the consciousness field is actually not bound by space or time. And because of that, there's no limit on the speed of it. It's instantaneous because of what's called non-locality in physics. It's a bit obtuse and technical to get into probably here, but what non-locality means is that it's not based in the linear speed of light or the linear speed of sound or what have you. It's instantaneous because of the nature of conscious field, the field of consciousness. And this is, to me, the most interesting stuff.
One of the things that he discovered in his research in the last 40 years, he's been doing this for 40 years, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, that's all he does. He was a head doctor at one of the ER clinics in Virginia. Somewhere in Virginia. But he stepped away from it in 1992 to put all of his time, energy, and effort to research this whole animal called UFO, UAPs, alien abductions, and aliens here on the planet. And he's done a magnificent job, may I say. So Dr. Stephen Greer, as a matter of fact, he's done a documentary. If you haven't seen it, you need to see it. Just go to YouTube. It's been watched by 700 million persons on the planet. And that's unacknowledged. You want to look at that. The next one he has coming up that he's just finished, it took him many years to put it together, and that he's going to have that out in the next 3 or 4 weeks, at least around June 10th, 11th, 12th. There's going to be the Lost Century, where they have back-engineered all of this stuff to the extent that I'll play this for you. Let's redo this about myths, and then I'll come back with that statement. I'll be right back.
And they are, they have been, I know for a fact, been told what to say. And so they say, number one, first big lie, these are a threat to the national security, inferring that from outer space there's a threat. It's not true. If civilizations that are hundreds of thousands to millions of years more advanced than we are, if they were a threat, we'd be a charcoal floating through space about 1945 August with the atomic bomb. Number two, we'll get to that in a moment. Number two, they will say that we don't know what these are. Maybe they're from China. Maybe they're, and even senior members of the Senate Intelligence Community have said that. We don't know. Because some of those guys have gone up there and whispered in their ear all this disinformation and spin. I know who they are. When in reality, we know what they are, where they come from, which ones are man-made and which ones are extraterrestrial. We absolutely have that data. But see, someone like myself saying that, that's going to get cut out of any show. For example, I was on a show that had 22 million people listening live back some years ago. And I started talking about some of the senior membership of this committee that's running this covert program. And I got to one name. You know, I talked about Admiral Bobby Ray Inman. He's been involved for decades in this. And then he went to the Board of Science Applications International Corporation, SAIC. It's one of the crown jewels of contracting on these exotic propulsion and energy systems. And then I think it was during the election, the second election for W, I mentioned that one of the most senior people is Dick Cheney. And we went to an unscheduled commercial break. A voice broke in, and the host had no idea. And it said, Dr. Greer, change the direction of this conversation now, or we will dump this show live. I said, with 22 million people listening? He says, yes.
Well, yeah, of course. But Dr. Greer is out there in the front. I mean, again, for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for the last 40 years, this is all he's been doing, is researching all of this. So he has a wealth of material. He has it documented. He has it backed up. He knows what he's talking about. And so the kind of information that he has, they wanted him to shut up and be quiet, especially they, now who are they? Look, we're not talking about the President of the United States or the Congress or the Senate. We are talking about a special secret government that has been put in place since 1947, that Roswell crash. Harry Truman, when he took over from Delano Roosevelt, he died in office after four terms of being elected. He took over as president, and so he put a group together called the Majestic 12. They have been in charge of all the secret machinations, if you will, of UFO technology and all that's been developed, and they call the shots. And they have not billions of dollars, but multiple trillions of dollars that they take out of the coffers of the United States and put into the program. So the big disclosure is that the secret government already has researched and back engineered and created its own Air Force, and that today flies to the moon, various planets like Mars, Venus, Saturn, on a regular basis. The secret government has solved the challenge of space travel and is hiding all that energy source that they discovered. And if we were to use that energy sources they have discovered with that secret space force, it would help eliminate the need for fossil fuels and provide free energy to all people on planet Earth. Now, this same discovery will provide food, clothing, shelter to every man, woman, and child, and end the problem of homelessness, hunger, and deal with the lack of drinkable water for humanity on the face of the Earth. Now, we easily could revolutionize the world with the free energy as suggested by Nikola Tesla back in 1940, who invented radio and all this stuff. But Dr. Greer has been asked not to talk about it. And they said to him, if you don't talk about it, we will give you $2 billion not to talk about it. But he's still talking.
Well, Mockingbird was one project, but it's an ongoing process that started really in full bore in the 50s. And that was to have major media people who were dual agents. They were in the media, but they were also on the payroll of the agency, the CIA or others, who, and I have a document we published from 90, I believe it was 92, where it says, it's a CIA document, we have people in every major news organization, it says it flat out, that are there to control, stop, alter stories at our request. So here's, you know, I mentioned one myth, and that is that we have a free market and a free economy. We don't. It's managed. Because there's no way we have a free market economy when the most important sciences and technologies of the last 100 years have been ruthlessly suppressed. But the other myth that Americans buy into is that we have a free press and the fourth estate, as it's called, a check and balance against excesses. But the major media, and also now the major tech companies, are actually actively involved in suppressing the story or spinning it. Now, what do I mean? When you see people on CNN or CBS 60 Minutes, the folks that they will allow to talk about it are people that have been cherry-picked by this cabal, this secret government group, to say what they're told to say. It's scripted.
Do you have any examples of this?
Yes, of course. Nick Pope, Lou Elizondo, Chris Mellon, all those guys.
Okay.
And they are, they have been, I know for a fact, been told what to say. And so they say, number one, first big lie, these are a threat to the national security, inferring that from outer space there's a threat. It's not true. If civilizations that are hundreds of thousands to millions of years more advanced than we are, if they were a threat, we'd be a charcoal floating through space about 1945 August
mm-hmm.
with the atomic bomb. Number two, we'll get to that in a moment. Number two, they will say that we don't know what these are. Maybe they're from China. Maybe they're, and even senior members of the Senate Intelligence Community have said that. We don't know. Because some of those guys have gone up there and whispered in their ear all this disinformation and spin. I know who they are. When in reality, we know what they are, where they come from, which ones are man-made and which ones are extraterrestrial. We absolutely have that data. But see, someone like myself saying that, that's going to get cut out of any show. For example, I was on a show that had 22 million people listening live back some years ago. And I started talking about some of the senior membership of this committee that's running this covert program. And I got to one name. You know, I talked about Admiral Bobby Ray Inman. He's been involved for decades with this. And then he went to the Board of Science Applications International Corporation, SAIC. It's one of the crown jewels of contracting on these exotic propulsion and energy systems. And then I think it was during the election, the second election for W, I mentioned that one of the most senior people is Dick Cheney. Okay. And we went to an unscheduled commercial break. A voice broke in, and the host had no idea. And it said, "Dr. Greer, change the direction of this conversation now, or we will dump this show live." I said, "With 22 million people listening?" He says, "Yes."
Of course, yeah. But listen, I played that before. But anyway, I'm just trying to give you a sense. I'm just not talking to be talking. There are tons of books and research documents. And this is what the biggest, I would say this, to know that there are alien spaceships visiting us, number one, that there are different species who not only created us, when you talk about the Anunnaki 400,000 years ago, we won't go there right today, but some of you heard of that, but that they're among us and they've been living here for thousands and thousands and thousands of years, long before we had a sense of anything on this planet, because they not only made us, but they still look out and guide us and direct us and, you know, watch us, and so that we don't behave like animals that I think we're closer to than anything else. Because war, violence, jealousy, hate, fear, the fear mongers and the whole nine yards, the cabal, it goes just on and on and on. It's too big to talk about it on any one program, but there's a lot of information out there and a lot of things you can be thinking about. But this is big, and it's going to be the biggest thing that people can possibly attempt to conceptualize possible, that there are species that are far ahead of us. I mean, many hundreds of thousands of years ahead of us when you talk about remote viewing, messages of telepathy, because they don't talk like we do. They can read your mind. They can watch what you do all the time. They can do. You can be a clairvoyant. You can be a psychic. You can be all of that. I mean, we have the capacity to do all those things, but we weren't taught to that because they dumbed us down by, the shows that we watch and the kind of education they give us in school. So we all dumbed down to a very low level. So most of us can't even think ourselves out of a wet bag. But once in a while, people will come through using their mind, creative talents, ingenuity, like a Elon Musk, like a Jeff Bezos and all of those kind of, or Warren Buffett or whatever. What they do, or even Robert Smith, if you will, he's worth $10 billion now, or Don Peoples, who's building the highest he's a people of color building the highest building in New York City, and that should be built in the next 5 or 6 years. But anyway, so the people who use their minds and ingenuity and be creative are able to reach out and get away from the kind of bubble we're in, the blinders that they put on us, and go ahead and think big and do great things. So that's why I tell people, if you want to do something with your life, read Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. Read The Magic of Thinking Big by Swartz. Read by Wallace, The Science of Getting Rich. If you take just those three books and understand all the nuances of that, and you practice all those constructs that they teach you to do, how to think big, how to make things happen, and get out of that small mindset, if you will, then you can do anything you want. You become a billionaire, a millionaire, a multi-trillionaire if you want to just get out there and make it happen. So it's up to you now that you're here, that you came from somewhere else. You're a spirit, by the way, occupying the body. Now that you're here to come to this planet to see what you can do, if you try to take the cover off your eyes, take the blindness off of your eyes and begin to think and be creative and help do some great things on this world. I mean, we have an opportunity to do a lot of things. But go ahead. I just want to give you a thumbnail sketch on what's going on, and there are many other things I could share and bring to the microphone. So go ahead. Nate, anything else you want to know? Anybody else?
Okay, if anybody else wants to come in and ask a question, make a comment, share, whatever, just press **, and that will unmute you. We'll acknowledge you and go ahead and ask your question. This is something that I think on our Saturday call, Ray, who's here in Moonah, Georgia, had mentioned that over the time, you know, he was kind of someone sitting on the sideline like most of us have been or are. But it's just too many things that's starting to happen that's bringing people's attention that, hey, it must be something to this stuff. You know, many people don't want to believe. Go ahead.
And that's okay. You know, listen, most, according to my awareness or statistics, that at least half of the people in the United States have some idea that something else is amiss. Something else is better than the Pope or the President or the preacher in the pulpit. Nothing wrong with those, but they have a limited view of who we are, and they don't want us to outshine them. But that's another subject. I won't even get into that. But what I wanted to say that there's so much money behind all of this, trillions and trillions, tens of trillions of dollars. And Dr. Greer talks about that.
Punchline. Okay. The ones that are the UFOs that are man-made, and that's about 70-80% of the ones people see, are in fact a threat to the national security because they're sort of a covert program that can be used in a false flag, just what we're talking about. And they have been. They can be used to stage, you know, fake abductions and mutilations and all kinds of scary stuff. Now, to what end? I mean, you asked this question. They want to be able to unite the world around a sort of totalitarian militaristic group,
yeah.
Which, you know, you can't do that by just fighting a few Al-Qaeda people or one country against another. The ultimate way to do that is to, as Ronald Reagan said when he gave his talk to the United Nations, wouldn't our job of creating unity and uniting the world be easier if we had a common alien threat to fight? I'm quoting.
I've seen him say that. Wouldn't we come together if we knew that there was another entity out there? How much wouldn't we unite in that?
Exactly. But instead of coming together in peace and common humanity and enlightenment and higher consciousness and everything else, we'd come together around fear and militarism.
This is like the one world government that is like possibly coming down the pipeline.
That already exists. I mean, the group that is running this is the transnational, meaning it's not just in the United States. It crosses geopolitical boundaries. So when I go up and meet with top secret people here in Washington, which I've been doing a great deal of lately, the first thing I tell them is look at a map of the world, erase all the geopolitical lines. They don't exist for the group we're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
It's transnational, not international. And they operate with alacrity all over the world, and they have enormous amounts of funding. We estimate that just out of the U.S. covert programs over the decades, it's around $8 to $10 trillion have been taken and spent on these programs.
Of course. So in essence, he is saying, let me just kind of capitalize this. He's saying there are two types of UFOs in existence. My labs, which is a government secret program operated by Majestic 12, they spend trillions of dollars building, managing, and operating those tic-tac things they show you on the planet. Now, these are his words. They use to abduct, intimidate, and frighten people on the planet, like World War. They want to prepare for World War III because the people in control of this planet, we talk about the Bilderbergers, the Illuminatis, they want war all the time, and they want to keep us subjugated, not even thinking about what's going on. And so, but if you go back to the 1920s, as quoting to him, T. Townsend Brown, followed by Adolf Hitler in the 30s, upgraded by the back engineering of the Down spacecraft like Roswell of 1947, right? Now they got the secret space force run by the government. I mean, the secret government, not the Congress and the Senate and the President of the United States. This is a secret government. This is this Area 51, S4, Groom's Lake, that government out there. They control that. So, but the citizens of America, like even George Patton, CIA Director Alan Dulles, and Paul Mellon, brought those craft that Hitler had to the United States after World War II, just before implementing what they called Operation Paperclip. You might want to look at that. That was after 1945. They took all those German scientists, von Braun, and all those brilliant guys, and brought them to the United States, and they are in charge of NASA and all the big industries in the United States. They're still in charge of that. So that's another big subject that I don't want to get into yet, except to say that if you pick up a book by Michael Sullar, S-A-L-L-A, he has Antarctica's Hidden History. He'll show you where the Germans have not only were in control of NASA and all the big companies that produce aircraft and whatever and armaments here and there, they still in control and in control of all the stuff in Antarctica. And that's another big, big topic. But he has a whole book on that. So this goes on and on and on, and it's big and it's a lot to chew. And it's scary in some respects, but even Tucker Carlson, who you may not like or dislike on Fox News, he talked about it.
Been hiding the truth about UFOs. That's true. We did a whole documentary on it for our Tucker Carlson original series. We took a look at what our leaders have been hiding. It's just out. Here's part of it. When the government isn't lying about what they're seeing, they're hiding what they know.
You can see they would black out nearly everything on all of the pages. They didn't want to talk about it.
Sunshine laws give Americans the right to appeal the blacked out portions within government documents.
When I asked the NSA to do that, they mysteriously lost each and every one of the hundreds of pages that they had collected. The reality of the NSA losing all of that on UFOs is nil. That's the length that they will go to try and cover this up.
The government knows more than it's letting on, but I'm not convinced even the government have all the answers here.
Even inside the U.S. government, secrecy is the rule. After pilot Chad Underwood spotted the famous flying Tic Tac, he learned that a Navy missile cruiser nearby had been tracking it for weeks.
So even Tucker Carlson was allowed to have that report for the first time in the last 70 years, because major media, CBS, NBC, ABC, CNN, would not touch this with a 10-foot pole. As a matter of fact, Dr. Greer just said they pay them millions and millions and millions, hundreds of millions of dollars not to talk about what Tucker Carlson just mentioned.
Just a few days ago, the Pentagon confirmed that a 2019 video of a UFO sighting is actually real. It was a UFO. The video shows a pyramid-shaped object flying over a U.S. Navy destroyer. This is the very first time the public has seen video from this incident. The UFO footage was leaked to a filmmaker called Jeremy Corbell, who joins us tonight to explain all of this. Jeremy, thanks so much for coming on. Tell us where this was shot. What are we looking at here?
Yeah, so I obtained and released videos and photographic evidence of UFOs swarming our warships. So the green video is night vision. That's from the USS Russell. It wasn't just one pyramid-shaped craft. It was multiple. These were swarms. I also released with my mentor in journalism, George Knapp, also released from the USS Omaha, which looks like thermal imagery. He released three photos the day prior to mine. So we're trying to get this out to continue elevating the conversation, because it's very important we have it right now.
You think? I mean, those are not weather balloons. Those are clearly autonomous aircraft of some kind that are, as you put it, swarming U.S. military craft. So there are two options.
These are craft under intelligent control.
These are craft under intelligent control,
and they're flying with impunity, Tucker, within our airspace, and they can outmaneuver, outperform anything that we seem to have. Their mode of transportation seems magical to us. It's unbelievable, and now finally we're having a rational, sober discussion about this because we don't know what these are. We don't know the nature of the technology. We need to find out who's operating them and also what the intent is. So it's a really exciting time to be learning about UFOs because now we're having a complete tipping point with the transparency, and hopefully we'll be getting more answers soon.
Right, sure. But they do know. See, that's what Dr. Greer was just saying. They do know. But they want you to think they don't know that it's something new and strange. They've been knowing it for the last 80, 100 years. They make them themselves. But they want you to think that they don't know, and maybe it's something that's threatening human life on this planet by having them come here. They've been here. They made us. They're underground. They in Antarctica. They under the pyramids. They got bases all underground. They've been here for many thousands and thousands of years, ladies and gentlemen, to your surprise. And we are abducted by not them, and we still are, but we also abducted by the secret governments of UFOs, because once the UFO abducts you, they want it to come back behind them since they have developed that technology too, right? Having back engineered the technique of how to do that, they want to know why they abduct you particularly and what it is you said and what it is they want you to do and what kind of implants they put in your body. You know, millions and millions of people are abducted and go missing each year. Some are not returned, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. You know, there's research that say many people are taking to other planets or underground bases to work for the cabal. It gets big. And by the way, abductions take place whether you're in bed, through the windows, through your doors, through your ceilings, if you're driving your car. Come on. Look at motion pictures like Communion. How about The Fourth Kind? How about Fire in the Sky? How about the motion picture E.T. and all those things that they put, Men in Black, War of the Worlds, Independence Day. They're trying to program you in a sense that we're here, we don't want you to be afraid, but we want you to be knowledgeable to see what you're going to do, see how you're going to work with us to make this a better world. But anyway, it's more than a notion to talk about this subject if you really do your homework. But you got to do some research and some homework. Back to you, Nate. I just wanted to kind of run
okay. through that. Okay, I see we have Billy Billis unmuted. Go ahead, Billy.
Hi, good afternoon. I just have a real quick question. I wanted to know, when you talk about the secret government, is the president of the United States privy to this? Okay, that's what I was wondering, and I'm thinking.
No. John Kennedy was killed. Listen, John Kennedy was killed because he tried to backdoor and get to Area 51, to Groom's Lake, to S4, and those Majestic 12 people, he wanted them to give him the secrets. They said no. As a matter of fact, not only will you not get the secrets, if you challenge us, we will have you killed. And so he challenged them, and this is the way he did. Listen to his challenge when he told them just before he died, a couple of weeks before he died. This is what he said to them.
And no official of my administration, whether his rank is high or low, civilian or military, should interpret my words here tonight as an excuse to censor the news, to stifle dissent, to cover up our mistakes, or to withhold from the press and the public the facts they deserve to know. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned. No rumor is printed. No secret is revealed. No president should fear public scrutiny of his program. For from that scrutiny comes understanding. And from that understanding comes support or opposition. And both are necessary. This administration intends to be candid about its errors. For as a wise man once said, an error doesn't become a mistake until you refuse to correct it. We intend to accept full responsibility for our errors, and we expect you to point them out when we miss them. Without debate, without criticism, no administration and no country can succeed, and no republic can survive. And that is why our press was protected by the First Amendment.
Right. So when he came out a couple of weeks before that, that day in Dallas that they decided to take him out, and suggested that Alan Dulles, who was CIA director at the time, and also head of the Majestic 12, that secret group, decided to take him out. So, but that suggested is that there's a book you might want to again get from Eisenhower, Kennedy, Dr. Seller wrote it, and he documents all of what I'm saying. Now I'm getting it from him. I don't know, but that's what he's saying in that book, and he documents that Dulles put the word that we got to take him out. So the presidents, no. The only president that had a closer knowledge of this was Eisenhower back in 1952. He met with some aliens at, I believe, Holloman Air Force Base, and they made a deal that you can keep abducting these people, you human beings, and I will give you, but you have to give me some of your technology in exchange, and you must give me the list of people you're abducting. But the aliens continue to abduct and give them a little bit of the technology that we have, you know, iPhones and internet and so forth and so on. But they didn't really give them anything serious that they could blow up the whole universe. And so here we are still. But Eisenhower had a big to-do about that. I don't know. His speech, Eisenhower had a problem with him because they even shut him out in 1952 when he was president. They didn't let him get all the information. And so when Kennedy took over, he met with Kennedy a few days before Kennedy took office and shared with Kennedy what he knew. But Eisenhower said this about the military-industrial complex.
That's when I realized in December 1993 that our country, the Constitution, the rule of law had completely run off the rails, at least in this specific area. And it was pretty much what Eisenhower, if you looked at the last speech Eisenhower made when he left office, when he said, beware the military-industrial complex because it will become a threat if we're not careful to our democracy and our way of life. But that was his farewell speech. And this is a five-star general, World War II hero, of course, and a Republican. And no one really understood why he made that as his last speech. Well, it turns out one of his military guys who worked with him the last couple years of his administration was an old guy that I got to know and was one of our disclosure project whistleblowers, said, oh yeah, I was at the White House and Eisenhower had been pushed aside and had lost control of those projects. So I think this is the part of the story that people have a hard time, in a sense, getting their minds around, because we all grew up with our history lessons and our civics lessons, and the president is the commander in chief and blah, blah, blah. In reality, the emperor has no clothes, and there are classified projects that go on, unfortunately, that are not supervised by the president or the Congress. So that led me with Daniel Sheehan to conclude that these projects were illegal. A priori, they cannot claim the rule of law to suppress testimony and disclosure of the subject. So we concluded that we could go forward with top secret documents and witness testimony and put it out to the public. And that's what we have been doing.
Yeah, Eisenhower had threatened the CIA and people at Area 51 that if you don't give me some information, I'm going to send the First Army in and take it over. I mean, having been a five-star general, he had the capacity to do that. And they gave him some information, enough to, for him to get quiet. But still, when he left office and turned it over to Kennedy, he was still miffed at the fact that he had shut him out. And this is what he had to say.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes. We should take nothing for granted. Only an alert and knowledgeable citizenry can compel the proper meshing of the huge industrial and military machinery of defense with our peaceful methods and goals, so that security and liberty may prosper together.
Okay, so in a nutshell, that's you know, it's almost top of the hour. I don't want to go on with this, but it's so much information. It's just, I would encourage you to go to the website. Listen, here's a young lady that I listened to over the weekend. Her name is Elizabeth April, like April, May, June, April. She is awesome. Google her and listen to what she has to say about the reptilians, the cabal, about who's running things and what's happening on the, in about the Galactic Command, about the spaceships above us and all of that. I mean, this lady is awesome. So it's a big subject. And you spend many, many, many hours really getting close to the truth as we know it. I mean, close to the truth, you know. We're not saying, because there's a vast billions and billions and billions of planets and ideas and constructs in the universe. So that all we can do as human beings is to try to do the best we can and figure out why we are here, why did we come, and what is our purpose? That's the best we can do before we leave. Back to you, Nate.
Okay. Billy, was that completion of your question or comment?
Yes, that was a very good answer with all that information. But I do have one more question real quick because I know we're out of time, and that's concerning these documents that were found in Trump's possession. And I was just wondering if he had privy to any of this information, and that is why he held on to these humans.
Yes,
I don't even know what the document is.
Yes. See, and I'll just take a minute. That's all. That's all. I don't want to waste much of your time. When Tesla, Nikola Tesla, died in 1942 at a hotel in New York City, the guy who invented electricity and radio, not Marconi. Marconi didn't do that. Tesla did it before him. But anyway, and he created the fact that we could get free electricity for everybody on the planet, but they shut him down. J.P. Morgan paid him $150,000. But anyway, they shut him down, took all this stuff. But when he died in his hotel room, it's the CIA and FBI let John Trump come in and take all that information from him. John Trump was a big professor at, I think it was MIT University, and he knew, so he took all that information with him, and I think he probably turned it over to Donald Trump at some point in time. So that's another big story. That's another hour, 2 hour wrap about that history of that and a lot of research. It's the top of the hour. So I think I'm
okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, one other person unmuted, and that's David Witherspoon, Second 60. Are you there, David?
Okay, no, they beat me up. I'm good.
Okay. Last person, and make it quick because we are right. 1 minute is Aisha.
All right, Lindegaard family. Thank you. Thank you, Russell. Let me tell you something. You and Jillian, I mean, together with crossing T's and dotting I's, like finally you see all the connections. And I would just say when Tesla was killed, they didn't take everything, but they took the most important things. They took bits and pieces of things that we could not connect the dots with the electricity and, you know, Niagara Falls and all the good things that the 369 code does. But I just want to say amazing, amazing. Nate, I don't want to hear no answers and doubts about it. I want it sent to me ASAP. And the bottom line is the awakening, the reptilian, the monarchy, you know, it's all connected. Some of these people are not people. They're clones, you know.
True.
The reality check is, like you say, we're human beings in a spiritual experience. And the essence of who we are, you know, no matter how many dimensions and how many planets, is, you know, the one who created everything. And
right.
who and when will it be destroyed and by whom, whether it's 5G or whatever, what have you. We do have the remedy on some of these things, and we just have to stay connected with each other in this entanglement. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Phenomenal.
Well, thank you for your comment.
Okay, it looks like Nadine is unmuted. We'll make that our last call. Go ahead, Nadine.
Thank you, Nate. I appreciate it. I just wanted to get the name of the young lady who you mentioned.
Phenomenal. Elizabeth April. April.
Thank you so much.
You got to listen to her podcast. She is off the chain. I mean, I listen to Jillian and Sally and all these other people, but this lady, she's awesome. You listen and let
on
me
point.
Know what you think. Yeah, listen. So,
okay.
Anyway.
All right.
Back
thank
to you,
you
Nate.
Russell. Okay, well, thank you, Russell, for all the information. Thank you, everybody, that joined us. Look forward to seeing you tomorrow, and hopefully you'll get Jillian, and hopefully she's doing okay.
So
everyone have.
I called, but no, still no answer, so let's hope she's okay.
Okay.
Appreciate it. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, everyone have a great day, and hopefully we'll see you tomorrow, where we'll continue the story.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Well, thanks for the time. See you later. Have a good one.
All right. Thank you. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The organizer has ended this meeting. Goodbye.